Forever Dog.
Welcome to another episode of Best Show Bests, the greatest hits of the best show, with me, your host, Tom Sharpling. If you like what you hear, make sure you join us every Tuesday night on Twitch at 6 p.m. Pacific for a brand new episode of the Best Show featuring callers, celebrity guests, live music, and plenty of surprises. Enjoy! Best Show, hi.
Hey, Tom. Loving the show. I wanted to circle back on the magic topic.
Oh, okay. Okay. Are you a magic fan?
No, but this is a kind of an interesting story. About, gosh, maybe 10 years ago, one night I go with some friends to, you know, that place out in East Newbridge, the Magic Cabin, where they have the magic shows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm there, and, you know, it's kind of like a cavalcade of pro magicians. And in the middle of the night, this one guy's doing a trick, and I've never heard of this. He forgets how it ends. So he's right in the middle of the trick, and he seriously just can't remember how to get out of it. And
okay.
Unfortunately, it was that one where you're sawing a woman in half.
Okay.
So it was the craziest thing. This woman is just kind of, she's there, you know, and they picked her out of the audience too. So it was like, oh, this isn't a plant. You know, this is real. So everyone's getting kind of nervous. Luckily, there was like 50 other magicians there, and they ended up, you know, finishing it, you know, getting the saw out. And there was a little blood just because it wasn't their trick. You know what I mean? So I just thought that was crazy. I've never really heard of that happening before. Have you?
A magician started the sawing someone in half, sawing a lady from the audience in half, and forgot. And then she was just left sawed in half until they fixed it.
Yeah, the big blade was still in there.
And, oh my God!
You know, she was playing it off like she was kind of laughing, you know, like, oh, okay, I don't know, and then you know, then it got serious, of course, but she was fine. I had never seen that before. Very odd night, you know. Oh,
yeah, no, that sounds like a strange one. I can't believe that a magician would leave somebody basically to die.
I know. He didn't mean to, but that's, you know, he just, I don't know if he got like stage fright or remember that episode of the Brady Bunch where Cindy thinks she's a super brainiac and she goes on that TV show and she can't remember any of the answers and she freezes up. It was just like that.
Wow. I haven't thought about that in a while.
Oh, I think about that every day.
You think about the Brady Bunch every day or that specific episode?
That specific episode. That specific scene, yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess we each have our things, huh?
We sure do. I got to say, it means a lot for you to take the time to chat with me. You know, these are some pretty trying times.
Man, that is an understatement. It has been... It has been hard. The pandemic has been rough on everybody.
Oh God, I wish that was all I had to worry about. Ugh.
Oh, I'm sorry. You have more to deal with than just what the world's going through.
I do. I don't know how many hours you have.
Well, we got time. What else is going on?
Really? Well, you know, I'm. Well, I'm probably going to get sued by the Shout Network, but yeah, I'm. I don't know. I'm in a pretty talkative mood right now.
Okay. Well, I'd love to hear your story if you want to share. What is your name again?
My name is Herb Dworkin.
The my toothbrush guy.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Oh, that's exciting. Well, this is...
Oh, stop.
No. My toothbrush is everybody. I mean, I think everybody knows what my toothbrush is. It's just like
I
you.
Hope so.
Yeah, I'm sure you know. It's one of those. It's like the ultimate toothbrush. Is how it's billed, and it's they sell them at. I see them at Bed Bath and Beyond, or even at nicer gas stations. I see them, and they're really. It looks like a really cool, thorough toothbrush, where it's just like the world's most thorough toothbrush, and that's you.
That's me. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How, I mean, I got to say, from outside looking in, Herb, it's right. Your company is a huge success. Everybody knows my toothbrush. Everybody loves the world's most thorough toothbrush. Your company employs a lot of people from Newbridge, which is great. And, you know, I mean, what I read in the Newbridge Midday Star was that you are a little bit of a celebrity yourself lately, it seems. There's a pretty good picture of you palling around with Pete Davidson.
Yeah, we have fun together. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. But you know, that's only one part of the story. Are you sure you want to hear this? Be honest. It's fine.
Yeah, I would love to hear it.
Okay. Well, about a year ago, just before the pandemic really hit, I was approached by Matthew Tompkins, who was the VP of programming at the Shout Network. And mm-hmm. basically, he wanted me to give some serious thought to appearing on their hit reality show, Undercover CEO. Have you ever seen it?
Oh, I've seen it. I love that show.
Do you? Oh, my God.
Yeah. I can't imagine everybody doesn't know Undercover CEO. It's the show where like a big time company owner, a CEO, obviously, goes and gives up all of the trappings.
Right.
To go and kind of blend in with the other workers at the company and just kind of go and see what the life is like on the other side of things.
Yeah, you sweat it out in the trenches like everybody else. It's it's a real leveler. It really is.
So you got approached about being on it, huh?
Yes, and I have to say I was reluctant at first. You know, I think I have a great relationship with my employees. You know, we were one of the first five companies in New Jersey to provide free PPE for all our employees. We staged frequent concerts for the employees here. What did we have recently? We did it's a great double bill. Riders on the Storm, who are just an incredible Doors tribute. This guy is Jim. He's as much of a shaman as Jim was. And we also had that day Zappa Plays Zappa. And I'll tell you, I was in smart music heaven that day.
Okay. You were in, that really brought it out of you, huh? Like,
oh yeah.
Just the, so Zappa Plays Zappa.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's, Dweezil. He has a band. Amit was not in this because I think they were still feuding at that point. Yeah. So, that was great. We also provide organic food and childcare for our employees. And, as a matter of fact, Garden State Business Magazine has named my toothbrush best New Jersey company to work for 3 years running. So I felt like, you know, I know what my employees want, what they think, but the more I thought about it, I realized, you know, this might be a good learning experience for me. And sometimes the employees are maybe a little bit too nice to me because of all the perks of working at my toothbrush. And so I thought, you know, maybe if I do this, the workers will feel more comfortable, you know, shooting straight, you know, and they're more apt to say what's really on their minds. So
sure. So you feel so you decided you're going to do it?
Yes. And so enter Craig, my toothbrush, newest forklift driver. That's me.
So Herb, just go. Goodbye, Herb. Hello, Craig.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. It was. It was something. It was fun. You know, I told the makeup person, I just said, go wild, you know, and so they gave me cornrows. I had a cool Fu Manchu. I looked like a total badass. Seriously, you would be totally impressed by how cool I looked. It was basically it was Chinese democracy era Axl Rose without the bandana.
Well, that is a look that, that's a hard one to pull off. And that was him at the peak of his powers.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He, I did have a very similar Ed Hardy t-shirt.
Okay. Yeah. Similar to the one Axl wore?
Oh, yeah. 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 So, you know, I'm in there, I'm working, everything's going well. Until Claude came and sat next to me that day at lunch.
Claude, who is Claude?
Oh, well, Claude was one of the maintenance guys, and he'd been there for, gosh, just a few weeks before I started. So he wasn't there super, super long either. And, God, this guy was something else. He one of those guys that just instantly commands your attention. He was like a cross between, remember the real mean guy, the mean trapper in The Revenant?
The mean trapper in The Revenant, yeah.
Yeah, the really mean guy who's very mean to Leo and his son. Anyway, so he's a cross between that guy, New Sensations era Lou Reed, and Jim Jones.
Well, that's some kind of combination, and that's an intimidating person.
Isn't it?
I never thought I'd hear a comparison with three references and Lou Reed being one of them, and that would be the softest of the three.
Right, I know, right? Like the guy that has the deepest feelings and is probably the most sensitive, and that's Lou Reed in this situation.
Yeah, yeah. That is, and New Sensations era. So this is my red joystick.
Yeah.
I love you, Suzanne.
Yep. Playful.
Yeah.
Playful.
Yeah.
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 So
wow. Well,
but super charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, you couldn't take your eyes off this guy, but you also knew there was a good chance of him being the agent of your demise.
Yeah, and you're just not sure where you sit with him.
Absolutely, yeah. And God, this guy had so many. There's so many things about him. I'll just tell you a few. He wore like the strangest cologne. It was a mix of like pine, Nag Champa, and fetid burlap. If you can imagine this.
Wait, hold on. So describe. I just want to take this in piece by piece. What was the first one?
Yeah, pine. You know, like the traditional pine.
Sure. Scent. Yeah. Yeah.
Like
okay.
Christmassy. Kind of Christmassy, and then there was Nag Champa, which is that classic incense. You know.
Absolutely.
You know,
sandalwood.
I love it. But and then you add to this like this fetid. It was almost like burnt burlap.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Doesn't that just overtake?
Odd. Yeah. Yeah, but here's the weird thing. You couldn't smell it in advance of him, like, walking up to you. You know, like, sometimes someone has perfume or something, and you can smell it, and you turn your head, and they're, like, 5 feet away. Oh, hey, how you doing? You know, like, you smelled them coming. Not the case with this guy. You would turn around and he'd be over your shoulder looking at you, almost like the Phantom of the Opera, like, and then that smell would hit you.
Okay, so Claude, it was not overpower. It was unique, but not overpowering.
It was overpowering the second he was next to you.
Sure, but it's not like, oh, here comes Claude.
No. So that's what made his like entrances so shocking too. If you didn't see him,
and he's very intense.
Very intense, long flowing hair, a trim beard, very tan and handsome. Would wear a leather biker jacket, biker boots, black jeans. He looked like Barry Gibb if Barry Gibb was a roadie on the Give Him Enough Rope tour.
I can actually figure out. I have an image in my mind with that.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So he would also do this thing where just like in the middle of just like hanging out, he'd whip out a pocket flute. And he proceeded to, as he called it, strike up a moon dance. And then he'd just start, like, playing. And it was just like that monster kid does in that horror movie. It's about the 50-year-old who becomes a child again. I'm spacing on the name. I want to say it's Mason.
The movie Clifford?
What is it?
Clifford.
That's it. Yes. Oh my God, that movie's so scary. I think I've seen it only like once. Oh, I couldn't. Mm-hmm. Oh, terrifying.
It has elements of terror in it, definitely.
When that guy's hair flies off.
The boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. We love you, sir.
He hates you. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's a great movie. But just to get back to Claude.
Yes. So Claude would then, like, he would start doing the Claude on you. And basically what that was he would be very normal for a week. But then slowly he started bringing up things. Things about my toothbrush, the company, and things about Herb Dworkin, the man.
Okay. Okay.
Basically, Claude was a classic gaslighter. If he said or did something that was questionable, he'd turn the tables on you, and he'd make you feel like you were wrong, or like you didn't know what you were doing, you didn't know what you were talking about. It was very... very, you know, shocking and off-putting. And then he'd start on his grievances with my toothbrush. You know, like really, you know, employees will kind of grouse about things. And these were things that employees would grouse about, like, you know, we take out too much in taxes, the break room is too far from Claude's workstation, the vending machine is always out of Nutter Butters, there's liquid asbestos dripping from the loading dock faucets, things like that.
Oh yeah, no. Well, that sounds pretty. That sounds like a wide range of issues there.
Right. Yeah.
But now you're hearing all this.
I'm hearing this stuff, and I'm like, well, this is my company, but I can't say anything, you know, because I'm a forklift driver. But then he starts talking about me, Herb Dworkin, like personal things, and it was all based on things that he quote heard, you know, like. He heard that I won't eat food unless it's got gold flakes in it. I've got a torture dungeon underneath the break room. I'm in the pocket of big fluoride. The reason I don't take my family on vacations isn't because I'm a tightwad. It's because I can only go to the bathroom at home. You know, like really offensive, hurtful lies, basically.
And you just have to sit there and take it.
Oh, not only did I take it, Tom, he was so persuasive that I started to believe what he was saying about me personally. And I then find myself telling other workers those terrible things about me, and they were all lies. I mean, how crazy is that? I just fell under his spell. And then I soon came to realize that most of the other workers were also under Claude's spell. And he was working on them the entire time the same way he was working on me.
So you're sitting there listening to this guy say, the boss is this, the boss is that, this place sucks, and this place, like all these things. And you're, not only do you just take it, you start to fall into the same patterns, like under the spell of what Claude was doing, and you start joining in.
Yeah, yeah, I would bust on me too. Like you've heard of QAnon, right?
Yes.
This thing was like my toothbrush Anon. Oh, I thought that would sound cooler when I said it. Sorry, it's weird.
That's a little clunky. My toothbrush Anon.
It's like one extra syllable.
Tooth Anon?
Now, Tooth Anon sounds like you're a dentist.
That's true.
I don't know.
We might not. There might not be one on this.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
So you suddenly are. Go ahead. You're. What were things you said?
I want to say. So, at one point, Claude says, "Hey, man, I heard you played bass guitar years ago in this band called the Gas Station Dogs," and I go, "Yeah, that's my brother Barry's band," and that's a whole story for another time. Don't get me.
Hold on. I know your last name is, wait, no, it never dawned on me in a million years. I never put two and two together on that you are the successful, respected entrepreneur and businessman, that you could be in any way, I guess, related to Barry Dworkin.
You've heard of Barry Dworkin, my brother?
From the Gas Station Dogs? Yes, absolutely. Yes. No, he's called this show numerous times.
Well, I'm sorry about that. Don't hold that against me.
Okay, so that's your brother, huh?
Yes, and I will just say, everything you've heard about my brother is true, and then some. And I should say, word of warning, look out, because he's getting a podcast together.
Oh, no.
Right.
So Barry Dworkin is finally just what the podcast world was waiting for.
Yeah. Yeah.
We all knew we were missing something. It was Barry Dworkin.
Yes.
So, wow.
Guess what his podcast is called?
Dworkcast.
So close. You're so close.
What is it?
Dwork talk. Rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Dwork. And he's got that, and your brother has that nasally, "Hey, bud, it's me, Dwork talk. Welcome to Dwork." Oh boy.
Yeah. In order to make him even more distinct, he had some procedure done. Normally, you would have that fixed so your passage is opened more. So it's not that nasally. He did the opposite. He had it closed a little bit more. So that was, it's like, blah. I can't even do it. It's worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For him to get that truly thick, well, that's ridiculous. Herb, I had no idea.
Well, that's a digression. Anyway, so basically every year, we do this talent show at My Toothbrush, and Claude had this big idea for several of the employees to perform as a band. And I was into it at first, you know, but then turns out Claude wanted to, A, write all the songs and basically kind of Svengali this thing like a Malcolm McLaren or a Bernie Rhodes or a Rupert.
Sure, the big architects of musical movements.
Yeah, the big three, yeah. So, and then he gave us this name, and he just gave us the name because he knew I would be offended by it. I would hate it.
Mm-hmm. What is it? What's that?
The Moist Boys. I hate it so much. I hate it. And so, in addition to that, unfortunately, it fell to me to not only be the bassist, but also the lead singer. So, I had to sing these lyrics that Claude wrote. And Claude knew I was a flagrant evangelical. So, it just gave him great pleasure to watch me have to sing these words that I knew would, could eventually damn me to deepest Hades.
Uh-huh. Like what?
Tom, please don't make me sing any of the lyrics, please.
Well, I am curious. It would really help explain what you were going through.
I'd really rather not.
Please.
Do I have to?
Well, you don't have to, but I would seriously it if you did.
All right, maybe it can serve as a cautionary tale to someone.
Yes, a cautionary tale. Exactly, Herb.
Okay. All right, well, there was this one song called Line 'Em Up. And basically, it was about being the coolest guy at the My Toothbrush annual Christmas party. And the chorus was, it was basically like, line 'em up, bro, because I feel like all debt. The next word begins with a P. And it's a part of an anatomy, and basically, I feel like all that pee is for me. Just very disrespectful and offensive and just ways too numerous and erotic to mention, really.
Absolutely. No, I could see how that would, for you to be, how did you describe your faith? You said you're a flagrant evangelical?
Yeah, I'm a flagrant evangelical. We actually, we'll take it as far as beating each other with our Bibles, that sort of thing.
Okay. Just to really drive home a point.
Yeah. Give it a little thwack. Bible. Uh-huh.
What's the hardest you've ever been hit by a Bible?
Have you seen the movie Tommy Boy? Where David Spade and Farley get into a fight. It's like everything is finally blown up and the car is basically a shell of a car with no doors. Mm-hmm. And Spade surprisingly really lays into Farley. And then the next scene, of course, is that great scene in the restaurant where he goes, "Richard, do I have a mark on my face?" And Spade goes, where? And then Farley turns so the camera sees this giant red mark on his face, and he goes, basically it's between here and here, and it's basically a red handprint on his face. It was like that times 10.
So 10, you got hit tenfold by a Bible.
Yes.
From that moment.
Yes, you could read as plain as day where the indentation that said Holy Bible hit my face.
Backwards,
yes.
Yeah. Well, that's
We actually have other Bibles made where it's printed backwards, so when it's on your face, it reads right.
Well, that just shows, I guess, that's the mind of the My Toothbrush guy, huh?
Yes, it's evangelical ingenuity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's very interesting. So
right, and there was this other song that Claude made me sing called "I'm on the Prowl." Please don't make me recount the lyrics to this, please.
Well, it would help for the purposes of the story. It would help.
All right. Well, there was this one line in particular that caused me great distress to sing in front of the entire company.
Yeah.
And it was basically, please don't make me do it.
Please, Herb, please.
All right. It was tapping that ass and showing no class as we do it behind this old church.
No, that's a weird lyric.
very bad. And for that one, during the keyboard solo, Claude made me do these moans. Please don't make me make the noises, please.
Well, Claude, Herb, you're not Claude, you're Herb. You need to think of this as kind of like a news program.
Okay, like 60 Minutes, but for the ears?
Yeah. Yes, think of it like 60 Minutes.
Okay, well, it was like...
Well, that is troubling.
Very weird, right?
Yeah.
There was also this weird rap rock song that he wanted me to do.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, murder was the case they gave me, although I asked for a different case.
Huh. Okay, well, it seems like you got boxed into things that had nothing to do with who you actually are.
Exactly. It was like he wanted me to be the opposite of who I am as a person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
well,
I
can
it.
I? But you did it. You did it. But why on earth did you feel like you had to go along with it and do it?
Look, all I can say is Claude really knew how to push my buttons. There's no way this cat didn't have a psychology degree, or at least watch every documentary available on Ted Bundy, Keith Raniere, Idi Amin, and Troy Duffy. I'm serious.
Well, that's some lineup there.
Right? Yeah. The big four.
The big four. Yeah.
Yeah.
Troy Duffy. Troy Duffy gets overlooked in that lineup.
I think he's the worst of all of them.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. I think Keith Raniere was no picnic.
But Troy was very disrespectful to Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, well, maybe in retrospect, but you kind of root for Troy a little bit on that one.
Yeah, maybe. But listen, it wasn't just him making me sing distasteful lyrics. He also made me go out and do things in like the real world. And it was almost like...
Like what?
Like it was like his personal Jackass show. Like, he would just do this stuff for his own enjoyment. Like, he loved to get me in cringy situations.
Like what is a cringy situation that he forced you into?
He'd make me go into auto parts stores and lingerie shops and then just cry hysterically at the front counter to get a refund. And like that aspect was embarrassing enough, but the rule was I had to wait around until the most attractive woman in the lingerie store or the toughest guy in the auto parts store was right next to me, and then I'd have to turn it on like, please, my wife will kill me if I don't get a refund for these silken panties or these brake pads for my mini bike. I can't afford a real motorcycle, please, that sort of thing. And I'd have to be crying. Oh, it was so mortifying.
This is weird. That's weird and debasing.
Very, very, very. And then when it was an attractive woman, Claude would make me turn to her just as I was walking out of the store after I've humiliated myself, and I would have to turn and go, damn, girl.
Yuck.
I wanted to just roll up and die.
No, that's terrible. That's gross. That's gross and offensive.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. And every time I'd go, I'm not doing it. Claude, I'm not going to do it. And then he'd whisper in my ear, if you don't do this, I'll expose you.
I'll expose you? What does he mean by that?
That's the thing. He would say it to everybody. That was what he would do, and you never knew what Claude had on you. You'd be thinking about it all the time. Like, you'd be thinking about every questionable thing you ever did, and you'd be like, is it that? Wait, that wasn't that bad, was it? Wait, I didn't think anyone even saw me do that.
So he's really got you. He's playing tricks on you. Your mind is, now you're not even sure which way's up.
Absolutely. Total mind games. And it was like any cult leader, you know, they work on you until you have no resolve. You know, you do what they tell you or else. And like every day was new weird drama. He got me involved in so many shady dealings with local flagrant degenerates. I was almost killed by the Colonelino crime family over a truckload of hijacked butterscotch crimpets. Oh my God. Scary stuff.
Wow, you were rolling with some pretty rough, some tough customers, huh?
Very tough. And I ended up having multiple affairs with tawdry women from the local Newbridge ska scene. I even ended up cheating on my wife, Sheila, with my wife, Sheila.
Hold on, I don't understand that.
Basically, he made me start this affair with my, Herb's wife, Sheila, as me, the character.
Oh, well, that is truly strange.
Yes.
It's like a weird version of the Pina Colada song.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
It was your own loving lady.
Right?
Yeah, but that was you. That was real.
Well, half the time, I didn't even know who I was, which guy I was, you know?
That is bizarre.
Very bizarre, you know? And then Claude worked me, Craig, the forklift operator, into such a tizzy about me, Herb, the My Toothbrush boss, I was literally frothing at the mouth in anger. My mouth was literally full of mouth froth, Tom.
Ugh. That's unsettling.
I know. And one day I was so worked up, I was even going to go into my own office and fight myself.
hold on a second. So Craig, the forklift operator,
yeah,
got so worked up that Herb, the CEO, was terrible that Craig was going to storm the office, or did storm the office to confront the CEO, but you're the same person.
Yes. I was about to do it. Remember in the Bad News Bears and Breaking Training when Jackie Earl Haley has that big confrontation with Bill Devane, his father, in the film, and then he gets so mad and he does this weird thing where he almost balls up his fist and hits his hand, but he doesn't, and then he just runs off in the distance. It was like that. I started to run towards my office, and right then Claude goes, "Hey, hang on," and basically he had to take a squeege. And so I needed to help him go to the men's room because of his flagrant shin splints. He couldn't really make it on his own. He always needed me to help him.
Oh, that's a weird scene.
Very weird, yeah. But basically, then later, this is when it all came crashing down. Here's what happened. So Claude tells us, a bunch of the workers, we're going to do a Claudie crawl over at the My Toothbrush Mansion.
A what crawl?
A Claudie crawl, which I later learned was a reference to a creepy crawl, which is this, I guess it's a scary, slow prowl that Charles Manson and Black Flag were known to do. And for your young listeners out there, Charles Manson was this manipulative cult leader who preyed upon the easily influenced in order to commit these crimes. And Black Flag was a rock group that was led by a manipulative cult leader who practiced his guitar 8 hours a day, played two shows a night for years, but somehow only got worse on his instrument. Anyway, one morning, it's like 3:30 in the morning, there's about 12 of us, and we put on these masks and we slink through my mansion, my actual home, all the while, you know, like taking things and placing them in other places, you know, just to like be confusing. And then everyone started making fun of my love of country crafts and my collection of Thompson Twins stage outfits. And I join in, you know, but God, the things that Claude and my coworkers were saying about me, my family, and our McMansion, they were very hurtful, Tom.
So you had to deal with everybody evaluating your home because they thought it was Herb's place, but they're there with Craig.
Exactly, yes.
Well, that's bizarre.
So weird. And you know, and all the lights are off in there because everyone's technically sleeping. So eventually, of course, someone accidentally knocks over this $20,000 Voss that I had in my living room. And I couldn't take anymore. I just lost it. I said, "You MF, have some respect, you MF piece of S." And I caught myself just then before I started really yelling, but my outburst woke up my wife, Sheila, unfortunately. Oh, my God. Can you imagine how scary that was? She comes running out of our bedroom with a meat cleaver. We both like to sleep with meat cleavers by our nightstands just in case, you know?
Of course, of course.
So that sent all of us into a panic. Me more than anyone else, you know, because I knew that she was good with that meat cleaver. So we all start to disperse. And Sheila's in hysterics. And right as I'm about to run out of the house.
Yeah.
Our eyes meet. Just for like 1 second. It was like that movie Election, where at the very end.
Yeah.
He thinks he sees Tracy. And she might have seen him, but maybe not. It was just like that. But in this story, I am 90% certain she knew it was me. And I could see this, like, disappointment and confusion just for a second. And then I just kept running. And the last thing I heard Claude say as he ran off was, "I swear I'm going to kill him." Meaning me.
Oh, my God.
I was terrified. So I run out of the house. I change out of my creep outfit and quickly into my nightgown. My wife and I don the traditional sleep garb of olden days, and we wear the nightcaps, too, and sometimes we'll even walk around with candles.
Well, that's interesting. I guess that's how the other half lives, huh?
Well, I feel it keeps us grounded. You know, sure, we have three heated swimming pools inside, but we also like to remain tight with our roots too. You know, we never forget how the olden people lived back
sure.
in the days.
Yeah, you know? So you keep in touch with your roots by acting like it's the 1800s.
Well, the 1850s, yes.
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
So
at this point, like, I don't know what's going on. And neither do the higher-ups at Undercover CEO. They're just like, "Wait, what's going on here?" And, you know, they're watching this live from inside the house. And now they're super worried. They're afraid Claude's really going to do the unthinkable. And so they just storm into the bedroom. And they just call an end to it all. "We're done. This is it." And
oh, my God.
At this point, Claude comes in the bedroom.
Okay.
And I'm shocked and terrified, right? Wouldn't you be?
Of course. No, without a doubt.
I'm going, "Keep that MFing, CSing, BFer out of my effing CSing."
All right. Okay. You curse that. You don't have You don't have to, like, abbreviate the specific curses.
Oh, no, I did abbreviate them. I'm evangelical, so I don't say those words. I just said the shorthand for them.
Well, yeah, I don't need to hear either, honestly.
Okay. So it's like this weird standoff now, silence, and just then Claude starts scraping at his face, and he starts scraping and scraping, and he starts peeling off all these layers of his own face. And, Tom, you're never going to believe this, but it turns out I was on another Shout Network show the entire time and didn't know it.
Well, what was the show?
Undercover Governor.
Undercover Governor.
Yeah, it's like Who's the next step above the CEOs of the biggest and best companies in the state? It's the governor. Claude, okay. Governor Jacobs.
No.
Yes.
The governor of New Jersey.
Isn't that insane?
That is off the charts insane.
You could have knocked me over with a toothbrush.
That's a mind blower.
So the entire time I'm trying to like keep tabs on my company, he's keeping tabs on me.
Wow.
Just insane, right? Oh yeah. My God, what a wild ride. And look, I appreciate you talking to me. It's been so nice. I have to run. The guards gave me way more phone time than they're supposed to, which is very nice. And lights out, I think, are in about 10 minutes. So I got to go back. Thank you.
Well, wait a second. Well, wait a second. You're calling from jail?
Yeah, I'm calling from the Newbridge Penitentiary for the probably guilty.
Why are you in? Why are you in there?
Oh, I killed Governor Jacobs.
My God.
Yeah, it was the whole thing. I was so mad that I went into just this huge rage and, you know, yada, yada, yada. God, what a great show that was.
No, that's not. No, yeah, it's not yada, yada, yada. That's awful.
Well, look, I admit it, I lost it, you know, but it's interesting because that's why Jon Bon Jovi has been our lieutenant governor for the last few weeks. That's the chain of command. It went Governor Jacobs, Lieutenant Governor Lingetti, Jon Bon Jovi, and I believe Maurice Kern is next in line. But he's what, like 134? So that might not work.
Yeah, that might not. I wondered why Bon Jovi was in charge of everything.
Right? Yes. Yeah. I think the guy from My Chemical Romance might be next in line after that.
Sure. Sure. One of the Way brothers.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But well, so it was a whole disaster. But the one good thing that did come out of all this.
What's that?
Is that the Shout Network is making this 22-part bio series about the whole thing called Roger, Portrait of a Flagrant Undercover Maniac.
Okay.
Kind of sucks because they said my name Herb tested poorly, so they went with something sexier.
That's what I was thrown by. I was wondering who Roger was.
Yeah, it's me, but they, Herb, not a great name. I agree.
So because they don't like how, they don't think the name Herb is sexy enough, they're changing your name.
Yes. Yeah, it's a pretty cool setup. Bob Saget is playing me, and Machine Gun Kelly is playing Claude. Do you know about this kid? Okay. He's super talented.
No, I know who he is. He seems like a real force of nature.
You see him on SNL a couple weeks ago? I mean, sure, people are saying there wasn't a note of live music coming off that stage, but they're just jealous. I mean, if he's half as good in this as he was in Roadies, look out, BAFTAs.
Yeah, look out, BAFTAs, huh?
Right?
I didn't really. The BAFTAs. That's like a British thing, right?
Yeah. It was produced by a British company.
Okay. Showtime's Roadies.
Oh, well, look, I tied you up long enough, okay? You've been more than
this is some
event.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is a crazy story.
I
appreciate all the details.
Well, I appreciate you letting me tell it, and hopefully I can call back at some point and we can chat about something less heinous, I guess, okay?
Yeah. Well, you give a call anytime you want.
Will do. Okay. All right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. You take care.
All right. Goodbye.
All right. Catch you soon.
All right. See ya.
Okay. Have a great night.
All right. Best wishes.
All a happy new year.
Ta-ta.
Fare thee well.
Ciao.
Good night and good luck.
All right, cheers.
All the best.
All right, later days.
Catch on the flip-flop.
So long.
See you when I see you.
All right, smell you later.
Take it sleazy.
All right, keep it real.
Have a good time all the time.
Cheerio.
Later, skater.
Adios, mi amigo.
Buongiorno.
Namaste.
Have a good one. I think we're done. I think that was it. That was a crazy story. That was wild. I guess very easy to get lost in the fact that he's a murderer. I guess that it kind of blurs past that a little bit. But yeah, it's something else. Pat,
I'm surprised you didn't say rock on.
I should have said rock on. Oh, I should have said rock on. Gosh darn it. Well, next time he calls, I'll say rock on.
I can edit it in.
Let me give you a couple.
Sure.
Rock on. Rock on. Rock on. That's rock on.
That was okay, it. Yeah. That was it.
Cut those then.
All right.
The Best Show is produced in partnership with the Forever Dog Podcast Network. The show is hosted by Tom Sharpling and features John Worster, Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, and Michael Lisk. The show is produced and written by Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Michael Lisk, John Worster, and Tom Sharpling. The Best Show is executive produced by Tom Sharpling, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. The show is engineered and mastered by Andrew Gleason. Website and technical support provided by Martine Sellis, and the show is recorded at Forever Dog Studios in Los Angeles. Support The Best Show on Patreon over at patreon.com/thebestshow and follow us on YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram over at Best Show for Life. That's Best Show number 4 Life. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.